California may be a big and wealthy state, but our end of it is far from the power and money centers. Humboldt County tends to lag behind in key indicators like median income, and Del Norte County tends to run behind Humboldt. Populations in both counties are among the people with the greatest unmet needs in the state, and that's why True North Organizing Network exists, to raise the issues of people in both counties, tribal lands included, and work to improve the lives of people dealing with those issues. Fernando Paz is a community organizer with True North and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Fernando, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
Tell us a bit about how True North got started and how long ago.
True North got started a couple years ago. It started actually its first manifestation came as a project of the Building Healthy Communities Initiative that was launched by the California Endowment in Del Norte. For the last couple of years, we've been organizing through a listening campaign, going out into the community and having a series of one-on-one conversations with folks in the community to really understand what the conditions are in the community that people want to address that are most impacting them from living a fulfilling full life.
Just to be able to go out and try to talk to people about their issues, though, I mean, how do you find them? When you did the listening project, where did you go and who did you ask?
Fantastic. So True North is one organization from a larger national organization. The larger organization is called PICO, People Improving Communities Through Organizing, and it's a faith-based organizing model. So our starting point was really working through or connecting with churches and congregations and faith communities. So it was going out and meeting folks who go to church, who have different faith traditions, and listening to the different struggles that they have within their community.
Does PICO and therefore True North have a particular faith that's allied with?
No, it's a multi-faith. So, like for example, in True North, one of my jobs is to convene a space of multi-faith leaders. So we have people from different, not just Christian tradition, but also Buddhist, the Vedic traditions. And one of the things that makes True North unique in the PICO network is that we are the federation that has a strong Native American component to the multi-faith, that brings in the multi-faith perspective to address social and economic inequalities in our region.
You know, even if a church is not something that people attend necessarily for religious reasons, it certainly can be a community center. Is that often the case that you find in the area you serve, that even if people are not necessarily particularly worshipful on a regular basis, at least they'll be at the church once in a while for something?
Yeah, actually. And it's interesting that many of the people that come to True North as an organizing model are people that are very spiritual and don't necessarily assign to any one particular faith tradition. So it's a unique kind of position place that we fill for folks who feel a sense of calling to work, to give their work to address social and economic inequalities, but don't have a really strong faith tradition, but yet hear that calling towards a spiritual, you know, there's a spiritual component to being engaged in political work, and that's what brings them to the work, especially when it comes to environmental issues. The folks that are not native, that are environmentalists, but feel that there's a calling to address the degradation of our environment.
You mentioned dealing with Native Americans, of which there are plenty in Del Norte and Humboldt County. I also see that you do work with immigrants, documented and not. Are these communities that talk to each other much, or have you had a chance to bring them together in some sense under True North?
As a Humboldt County organizer, the key task for me has been to organize with the immigrant community. And one of the things that we've been working on has been to build relationships between undocumented people living in Humboldt County and Native American folks. And the interesting linchpin between both communities has been that as undocumented immigrant people from the southern half of the of the hemisphere, we have indigenous blood in ourselves. I myself am second generation in the United States, and my parents and people from Mexico and from Latin American countries do have indigenous identities, indigenous blood within us. And recognizing that and how that translates into some of the cultural practices that we have within our culture that resonate within some of the cultural practices that some Native communities in the region also have has been really interesting exploration. We have had a series of meetings with communities in Hupa, specifically documented communities, thinking through what it looks like for undocumented people to be in solidarity with Native American communities that are asserting their sovereignty and their sovereign rights.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating process.
It has been.
Fernando Paz is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a community organizer with True North Organizing Network, a subset of PICO, People Improving Communities Through Organizing. This is in Humboldt and Del Norte counties, one of the poorer corners of California with a lot of issues that they feel need to be addressed. Seeking justice through True North, you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. There are many pictures on the website at True North of large groups apparently demonstrating. Give us a feel for the kinds of events that you pull together at True North.
Sure. Our most successful events have been, and stuff that we've done most recently, have been holding candidate forums. So up in Del Norte, we had a candidate forum for the recent elections of county supervisors. On May 1st, we had a major immigration march in Eureka, California, where we anticipated having 100 people, and we actually had close to 250 people come out and march for immigrant rights. In Eastern Humboldt, we have youth who have been organizing, well, not just youth, but we have a series of committees that have been organizing around traditional land management and traditional water management and protecting the environment in that region. We've also addressed, in general, we've addressed issues of homelessness, immigration, as I mentioned, environmental issues that impact water and land management in the region, education. Most of the people that we have been organizing with have been experiencing in education inequalities. And the fifth thing we've been addressing has been police accountability. So we've been working at establishing relationships with the local sheriffs within Humboldt County and Del Norte County so that there's communication and dialogue between the community we are standing in solidarity with and law enforcement.
So housing, immigration, water, education, and police abuse. What have been some of the incidents that have arisen between the communities you're serving through True North and police agencies?
Oh, well, specifically in Humboldt County, I can speak to the experience of undocumented people and their experience with local law enforcement, which has changed dramatically since we've started being in dialogue. We've started to create a dialogue with local law enforcement. Initially, people felt very harassed. They felt that they were not safe. There was a case of a woman who was experiencing domestic violence, and when she called law enforcement showed up, they took her into custody rather than the person that was abusing her.
Why?
Because she was undocumented.
Ah.
And it didn't matter that she had a black eye, from the person that was, accosting her. So there were instances such as that, you know, people being pulled over, being asked whether they're here illegally or not. So we spoke with law enforcement, and we have a great relationship now with the Eureka Chief of Police, Andy Mills. And one of the things that they've done is that they have explicitly stated within their policy that they will no longer ask for anybody's documented status within the United States. So it's things such as that, right? Just being in dialogue and understanding, and really law enforcement's understanding their role as being local law enforcement and not being an arm of the federal law.
Immigration officers, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, that they're not deputized to do that. That is outside of their jurisdiction. And Chief Mills has been really clear that what they're looking for is just to create a safe community, which is also what we want, right? We want a community that's safe for our community, for our people, where they don't have to fear law enforcement.
As an example of the history here between undocumented immigrants and the police, I noticed that on your calendar there's a film showing tonight and tomorrow in Arcata called Stop the Deportation of the Sun Valley 7. That is not terribly long ago. What happened there?
Yes, that was in 2008. There was a raid on the Sun Valley Flower Farms where they detained a number of people, and these seven folks that we did a video piece on are the last remaining cases in the deportation case. Right now, we're in the process of asking for a prosecutorial discretion, for the prosecutor to use his discretion to dismiss the cases, because none of these people have any criminal charges against them. They contribute to the community, and they, in fact, may qualify for some of the immigration relief programs that we are fighting for on the federal level. In July, PICO National will be launching its campaign for comprehensive immigration reform, and they're going to be spearheading that campaign with the story of the Sun Valley Seven, because part of what we're asking for, comprehensive immigration reform, is that we're asking for a respect, equity, and dignity for all the people that come to this nation who give their labor, who give their lives, who give their blood, sweat, and tears to create a better life, not just for their family, but for the community that they inhabit.
Story that originated in Arcata then locally for you folks becomes a national example to be used for PICO's broader campaign.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, so the film screening that we have this evening is going to be a launching point for an event we're going to be having next Saturday, July 30th, in Fortuna at the Multi-Generational Center. We will be hosting an immigration forum, and we have invited, and Congressman Huffman has agreed to be in solidarity, and a statement of solidarity with immigrant communities, as well as we'll be doing workshops for the different immigration relief programs that are available, and it will also be a launch pad for a Get Out the Vote campaign, recognizing that within this presidential campaign year, a lot of the rhetoric that has been spewed by some of the candidates has been full of hate and dehumanizing towards undocumented people within our nation.
Fernando Paz, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a community organizer with the True North Organizing Network in Humboldt and Del Norte counties. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your thoughts, comments, questions for Fernando. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned election year politics, which, of course, when you're dealing with immigration, is always going to be there on the horizon. I'm curious, though, when you were talking about candidate forums, it sounds like True North tries to stay fairly politically neutral.
Absolutely. We are nonpartisan. We do not endorse any candidates. We do recognize different policies that may benefit the communities that we are working with, but that is part of our political stance. Mm-hmm. So when we host those forums, we really give it's a place for folks in the community to come and ask the candidates specific questions on specific issues that concern them. At our recent candidates forum in Del Norte, we had folks in the community that felt that they understood better where the candidates stood on specific issues that they're deeply, deeply passionate about. So going into this next phase in the election cycle, people are better informed as to who they will vote for.
So let's talk about the other issues. I mean, that you raised through the season of listening, identified police abuse, housing, immigration, and water management as the big issues. Mm-hmm. Education as another one in their dough, which is always, always an issue of debate. What are some of the specifics that have been discussed within Humboldt and Del Norte counties? And it's educational inequity or inequality, I think, is what you talked about. And what kinds of things came out in the way of action items to do in that area?
Last year in Klamath, we had a forum with some of the supervisors from the Board of Education, and one of the things that came out that was really specific is having more parent involvement in regions where people feel that their children are not getting the attention or educational level that they need. Specifically in Klamath, the forum was held in Klamath, but it was attended by folks throughout the county or people throughout the county that felt there was a deep investment in this issue for them as well. And there was a series of questions that were asked of the supervisors specifically for there to be a clear connection between the parents, the teachers, and the supervisors as to how they can best provide the level of services that their children need, right? The level of education, the material, the programs, and all those kinds of things. So that's been the most clear thing, it's been about a year now, and there has been some results. I have not been really intimately in contact with that work, but this is what I know that's been going on.
Okay,
and it's been a really great success.
In a more general realm, then, I mean, the season of listening you mentioned that went on about a year and a half ago in Humboldt and Del Norte counties came together with a major community event, and I think this is where you established the five major issues. How much of an eye-opener was that, that event, even for people who already knew a lot about the community and what suspected they knew what the issues were?
It wasn't so much the issues. I think that was an eye-opener. It seemed like people understood the pain that they were experiencing, of course. But what was the biggest eye-opener was the number of people that also shared the same pain. I mean, it's one thing to be home and acknowledge what it is that's causing you pain, right? Whether it's your status as an undocumented person living in this nation and the fear and anxiety you have to go through just traveling from your home to the store to get milk and food, or knowing that you're sending your child off to a school that may not be providing what your child needs to be successful at a college level, university, and or knowing that the water is being taken away from your river and that the fish will potentially die. But it's hearing how when you share that story, there are other people who also share that pain, also share that story, and how that begins to generate a really powerful, a lot of potential for powerful mobilizations and powerful change, transformative change in our region. I think that was the biggest eye-opener for everybody, bar none. It was what folks said most.
Just kind of like a support group in a sense. It's like, oh, I thought I was one of the few people feeling this issue, but you feel it too. You know, getting a chance to meet
exactly.
The people who feel it, yeah.
And in the region the size of Delaware, I mean, it's the geography just divides so much on top of the way the system is constructed to divide people from each other. But just to travel from Fortuna and get to know people from Smith River or people from the Hoopa Valley, to sit in a room for a couple of hours and hear the different strategies, the different pain and the different ways that we can resonate with each other and start to organize and see each other on a deeper level to begin to support each other to propose better things for our community.
Fernando, when you say the system is constructed to divide people from one another, what do you mean?
Oh, what I mean is just in terms of the way there. Well, I guess it's not really a kind of an explicit thing, but just the way powers that be tend to use a strategy of divide and conquer. I mean, and this just comes from the legacy of colonialism in the region, the historical trauma that Native communities have had to endure and overcome, the way undocumented workers are so overwhelmed with work that there is no time really to organize or to connect other than at church or through other social groups, but to really break out of your little cultural cluster, it's difficult, right? And that's what I'm talking about. Just the daily grind that people have to go through to survive keeps people separated. And then just the constant media bombardment that makes people sometimes feel apathy towards wanting to collectively do any work to change the conditions that we're in. That's what I mean.
Do you? How many organizers altogether work within the True North Organizing Network? You and how many others?
Currently, there are four organizers. I'm the organizer in Coastal Humboldt. We have an organizer in Eastern Humboldt, and there are two organizers in Del Norte. And then we have our lead organizer that kind of oversees And helps keep our shared vision together of the work that we're doing. And then I'm executive director.
Is there much traveling to Sacramento, for example, to try to get a hold of legislators and say, hey, look, here are the issues we would like some attention upon?
Yes. As a matter of fact, last year we were part of a statewide mobilization by Pico, California, to have Governor Brown sign the AB 954, which is a racial profiling, was a racial profiling act. So there is some of that, not much. It really depends on where our leaders want to go in the work. Part of the organizing effort is for leaders. Well, let me say it this way. Community, by definition, is already organized, mm-hmm. right? That's, otherwise, it wouldn't be community. So, otherwise, so what our job then becomes is how do we help community listen to each other and reflect back to itself what its needs are, and then help it recognize the skill that it has for its own survival, for the answers that it already has. So if the community sees that maybe advocating for AB 953, for example, is the way that it's going to help it address some of the issues of inequality that are happening within this community, then that's what we help do, right? We help facilitate those processes.
True North Organizing Network is the name of the organization. It is a subset of PICO, which is a People Improving Communities Through Organizing, which is present around the country. We've been talking to Fernando Paz, community organizer and executive director of True North. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.